My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, today's an exciting day, isn't it? It is Super Bowl Sunday, woohoo! There's some people excited. Now, maybe you're excited for the game. Who's excited for the game? Kirby is. Thank you, Kirby. Oh, Carolyn, we got a few. All right, some of you may be excited for the Super Bowl food. Anybody excited for the Super Bowl food? Got a few more on that one, all right. Some people might be excited about the Super Bowl commercials. Or as they seem to be appeasing to an older crowd this year, the halftime show. I think we got more laughs than anything else on that one. Hopefully it's just not controversial, that's my only hope. But hopefully there is something that excites you about today, even if it doesn't have anything to do with the big game happening right up the road. But the game today, just in case you haven't noticed, does feature our local team, the LA Rams. I see one sweatshirt in the crowd. And they're playing the Cincinnati Bengals, okay? Any Bengals fans? I think that's what most of the country's response is, maybe. Just kidding. But anyways, in some ways, it is a David versus Goliath, considering where each team is from. I mean, think about LA. How many championship-level organizations that we have? Let's think about it. Dodgers? Lakers? LA Kings? Yeah, we're not really hockey land out here. LA Galaxy? Not really big soccer people either. You name it, we seem to have a championship in it. Now, Cincinnati, on the other hand, the Bengals are one of 12 teams to never win a Super Bowl. The Cincinnati Reds, who may have changed their name, I'm not quite sure, I don't pay good enough attention, but the Cincinnati Reds have only won 5 World Series in 103 years of playing baseball, and the most recent win was over 30 years ago. And then I have to admit, after those two, I could not name another professional team from Cincinnati. I know they've got them, but I just don't know them, and that must be saying something. But now, as Cincinnati is the underdog city within this Super Bowl competition, Samaria, where our story takes place today, could be considered the underdog to the Jews, who are the main characters in our story. And women, too often, like the Cincinnati teams that I didn't name, are too often unknown, under-respected, and often invisible. Now, unlike both David versus Goliath and the Super Bowl, today's story is not about a winner and a loser, but it is the first step in unity between rivals. The story begins, not in the verses where Carmen read, but back to the very beginning of the chapter. Back to the beginning of John chapter 4, where Jesus makes the intentional decision to travel through Samaria to get to Galilee instead of what every other reasonably minded Jew would do, which is to take the longer way around Samaria and to avoid going through it. Along the way, it comes about midday. And where is Jesus but in Sychar, the location of Jacob's famous well? For an unknown reason, the disciples leave Jesus alone at the well where he encounters a woman, a Samaritan woman. How many ways is she down on her luck in who she is? We know the story, which is why we didn't read it, but we usually don't get to the part where Carmen read. We know that the last thing that should have happened here was a conversation between a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. But not just any conversation happens at this point, does it? But a conversation that can be seen as world-changing. Jesus asking for water from a woman. Jesus rejects the division between genders, choosing to engage in a conversation with deep questions and answers. Jesus is showing respect for the woman, revealing to the woman who he is, saying for the very first time in John's gospel who he is. Jesus is turning her in to the first Samaritan and first female disciple in the gospel of John. We are reminded once again in this story that boundaries and social expectations play no part in Jesus' heart, mind, or ministry. The woman shows herself, obviously, to be no ordinary, box-fitting Samaritan woman either. Most probably would have walked away and not engaged. But her decision to question Jesus, to extend the conversation, and in so many ways to sass Jesus, shows that she is courageous and has no fear of the consequences she might face for having such an encounter. In addition, throughout the conversation, if we pay attention, she uses not I pronouns, but we and our pronouns, plural, speaking for the people of Samaria, not just for herself. We could in so many ways see her as a spokeswoman for Samaria. By the end of the conversation, her belief in Jesus as the Messiah inspires her to go tell anyone and everyone about her encounter that she had. She becomes an evangelist, a proclaimer of the good news with her faith and her witness. Notice that she talks about, he knew everything about me, saying it almost proudly, though what did he know? Five husbands and living with one that was not her husband. Well, too often, when we read, preach, and teach this text, we end it after the woman's conversation with Jesus and the news that she went on to proclaim who she met to everyone and anyone. But the story doesn't end there, does it? Once she leaves, the disciples return, and we get this image of their heads turning, watching the woman walking away from Jesus as if she had just had a conversation with a felon or the Samaritan mobster. They proceed to try to get Jesus to eat something, only to have him turn his rejection of food into an illustration for the pressing need to reach the people of Samaria with his message of salvation. The people were drawn in to the woman's testimony, hooked into hearing more, and they convinced Jesus to stay in the dreaded Samaria for 2 more days to keep teaching them and inspiring them, at which point they proclaim, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the Savior of the world. Note those words, the Savior of the world. Not just the Savior of the Jews, the Savior of you and me, the Savior of men and women, the Savior of LA fans, Cincinnati fans, and those who just are not fans of football. He loves you too. We are reminded that there is not a line that Jesus will not cross to find a lost sheep and bring it home. How can I pay attention to the 99 when one has wandered away? I give thanks today for the Cincinnati United Methodist Churches who put in this challenge to raise money for the hungry today, reminding us that the true fight is not on the football field, but in homes and on the streets where people are hungry, hungry for food and hungry for the salvation that Jesus has to offer. Too often we are focused on the wrong fight. Which team will win? Who is superior? Who is deserving? Who drives the better car? Should it be choir music or praise music? Should children be in church or in Sunday school? Is it safe to have fellowship? Should the church accept LGBTQIA people? Should the church split? So oftentimes, these are the questions that we're focused on, and so many more. But this should not be the heart of our debate or the reason that we're fighting. The fight should be against hunger. The fight should be against hate. The fight should be against prejudice. The fight should be against sexism. The fight should be against injustice. The fight should be against abuse. The fight should be in our losing battle to win people for Christ as our churches shrink every year. The disciples told Jesus to eat food, and he said we need to feed people instead. Where do we find ourselves focused on eating food instead of feeding people? Where are the Samaritans and women around us who are being left out of hearing the message and not being reached? And how are we called to take steps towards unity that comes through Christ's message, Christ's sacrifice, and Christ's Holy Spirit that is within all of us? For we are reminded of the good news that Jesus is the Savior of all the world. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we know while so many of us are focused on a football game today, that you are focused on how it is that you care for your precious children of this world. And we just ask that some of the excitement and energy and effort and money and time that goes into the Super Bowl, that the same kind of energy and enthusiasm and money and time can go into taking care of people in need, finding the lost sheep, feeding the hungry, fighting for justice, and loving one another. May we find steps to healing, wholeness, and unity through your Holy Spirit that is within us. For this we pray on this day and every day, for every day is your day. Amen.